Well, good morning, church. If we haven't met before, my name is Gavin Sledge. I'm one of the pastors here. I got to share a little bit earlier in the semester, and so I'm excited. Last time I talked about hopelessness. And so this is going to be a little bit of a right turn as today we get to celebrate. So if you've gotten to see, we've done baptisms. Jake has talked about it. Aaron's talked about it. Today we just want to end the summer for some of us. I know a few of us still have a few weeks, but summer is ending. And we are headed into something new. So we just wanted to spend some time to stop and to celebrate. A quick story about me. When I was in college, I worked at Pine Cove. Go Cones, I think is what they did afterwards. And so a really cool thing is my second summer, I was working at a camp called Timber. So I was with 8th and 9th graders, which is a challenging age for a lot of things. And I remember it was like week 7 or week 8. My family said, hey, they're going to come visit me. And so I was really excited because when your family comes visits you, you get to celebrate them. You get to, like, we have like an end of the week meeting where all of our staff is there and we like yell and cheer. And then you get to like share your family with everyone. And so I remember this week in particular, was like this was a good week for my family to come because it was a rough week in my cabin. If you don't know anything about Pine Cove, like we picked up a lot of rocks, which just meant we had to do a lot of discipline, moving one water from one part of the lake to the other part of the lake. Like, did it make sense? But no, like it was discipline. It was, this cabin just had a lot of needs. And so I remember I got to the end and I was exhausted. I was tired. I was like, I'm just ready to go to Dairy Queen and get a blizzard, like anything. Just get me away and give me my 24 hours of rest before I do this all over again. So we do all of our cheers and I get to go up and I get to introduce my family. So I start with my dad. I said, hey, this is my dad, John. And everyone cheers like, yeah, John, we love John. He's like, yes. And, all right, and this is my stepmom, Kaylin. And I went down, right? So it was my dad, my stepmom, and my three stepsisters. And so then I get to Ellen. I was like, hey, this is my stepsister, Ellen. And then I get to my second stepsister. I said, hey, this is my stepsister. Just nothing. Right? Like I just sat there and there was nothing in my brain, just like fuzz. Right? And so what do you do in that moment? You're in front of like 100 of these people you've been working with all summer and they're like cheering. You're with your family and then there was just nothing. Right? So what did Gavin decide to do in that moment? Just make up a name. Right? It's like, whatever. Right? It's like, could I sat there? It's like, hey, just real quick, just remind me. No, it was like, and this is my stepsister. And I just made up a name, y'all. Like I said, like, this is Carly, right? And she said, it's Allie. It's like, it is Allie. Like, I've known that. I've called you Allie so many times. And so what do? I correct myself, like, on a mic. I was like, oh, not Carly, Allie, all right? And they're like, Carly, Allie. Like, yeah, like, they cheered for Allie. And then they move on, like, and this is Emma Kate. And like, as soon as that was done, I remember just leaving the whole cafeteria. Like, I don't remember what happened after that. All that to say, I'm a forgetful person, right? If you've been friends, if you've worked with me, like I have so many, like I just keep things around me to remind myself what is to come. And scripture is really clear that, man, we are forgetful people. Right? That God constantly draws us back to this idea of remember, of stop, of celebrate. We did the same thing last year, and I just want us to give us, man, remembering and looking back is good because we are forgetful, that we are headed into something new and we can be really excited for what is to come. But church, I want us to take a time just to stop and to look back and to say, man, our God has done a great thing here in this church. He's doing a great thing here at Creekside, right? And there could be some uncertainty what the fall looks like. There could be excitement. There could be dread. As we're headed back to school or headed back to work or whatever is in front of us. But regardless, I want us to just take a time to look through the scripture. So today we're in Joshua 4, so we're continuing in the Old Testament. Just got 7 verses. Honestly, I'm not gonna be up here that long sharing because instead I'm gonna bring up some of my friends over here and they're going to share a lot more with y'all. And then I'm excited for that. All right, so Joshua 4, if you have it, you can follow along. If not, once again, it's up on the screen. I'm just going to read 1-7. I'm going to talk about it, and then we're going to jump into some of these interviews. All right, but here's the idea. Joshua 4, Israel's moving into the promised land, right? Moses has moved on. He's commissioned Joshua. He's leading his people into the promised land. They have just crossed the Jordan in a miraculous way. Once again, God has stopped the waters and allowed all of Israel to pass through the Jordan. And that's where we jump in. Right here it says, when all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's foot stood firmly, and bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in a time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. So today we want to take a similar moment, right? God is calling Israel, hey, you are about to head into what I've promised you. You're about to head into what you've been longing for, what you've been wandering and coming into this moment that you are, like, this is where we're headed. This is where we're going. There is something good in front of you. But before we get there, I want you to just stop. Right, I've just done a miraculous thing behind y'all. Like I've just led you through the Jordans. Like I've just done something that no one else can do. And so he orders a man from each 12 of the tribe to grab a stone and to lay them down as a commemoration, as a place to look back. Right, he says, and when your children look at these stones, I want you to share with them that this is what the Lord has done, that our God, the creator of the universe, the King of Kings, this is what our God has done. And so today, I want us to do that. Just take a moment to stop, to look back, to celebrate, to gather our rocks and say, hey, this is what our God has done here at Creekside. Through just people in this audience, through people in this church, through our goers all over the nation, this is what our God does. So we're heading into a new season, another school year, right? All of our high schoolers are really excited to go back to school, I'm sure, right? Aggies are returning. The room's getting more full with our Aggies coming back. Like there's a new football season, a new hope. This is the one, right? This is it, y'all. Well, I don't know why we're laughing. I don't understand. Right, we have a new teaching pastor. Jonathan Smith and his family are moving. They're gonna be joining us. We have new people on staff. There's so many new opportunities. The list goes on and on. But before, I just want to take us time to stop and gather our stones. So you might be sitting here like, hey, why? Like maybe my summer's been horrible. Maybe all these different things. Maybe I don't know anybody on this stage. I wasn't involved in any of those things. Man, stories are important as they point to the one who has made those stories. And so why do we celebrate? First and most importantly, it honors God. God is worthy of all things. He's worthy of your worship, of your obedience, of your life, right? But he is worthy of celebration, that it warms our hearts, it grows our affections, that our God isn't one of just knowledge, of our relationship isn't one that where we just know things, but is an act of faith, of devotion, of affections. And so these stories get to grow our hearts, right? So maybe you get to look at these stories and say, hey, that is who our God is. Our God is a God of redemption. Whether it's through the life of a Bible study or through a little 7-year-old who got to meet God at Pine Cove, right? That this is who our God is. That he is a God who loves, who knows, who walks with, who's working here in the life of the students. And so, secondly, right, it strengthens our faith. As we get to celebrate, you get to look at each one of these rocks. You get to look at these stories and say, that is who my God is. Regardless of what circumstances might say, regardless of what my summer looked like, this is who our God is. So as we look back and we remember, we get to see the whole picture. We get to see the bigger parts, right? So some of y'all, man, y'all are ready for the fall to come. Some of you parents are like, I can't afford to keep feeding my kids every meal right now. Like they just snack. Right, like we took a group of students to Colorado. It was like, man, high school boys snack, y'all. Like my mother, I don't know how she afforded that much food. All right, some of y'all are real excited. Maybe new opportunities, a new semester, a new year, a new job. And so y'all are just running, like, let's get there. Like, let me go. And then some of us are like, man, summer. Like we're just dragging along. Right, we're feeling broken down, we're feeling discouraged, we're feeling frustrated. Maybe this summer didn't look like you thought it was gonna look like. Maybe an unexpected death or pain in the family, maybe something happened that just broke you down. It's like, I just want summer to be over. Regardless of where you're at, this is the same reminder that our God is moving. As we hear these stories, that the same God that we're celebrating on stage is the same God that's working amidst your life. Right, and so we get to see these things in some of, there's a quote in a book I was reading. It's like, sometimes you don't always get to see the hand of God. You don't get to see how God is moving directly in your life. But these stories are gonna celebrate the heart of God. They're gonna celebrate that this is who our God is. And so when you can't see the hand of God moving, I wanted you to know that this is who our God is, to hold fast that this is the heart of who our God is. As we celebrate, as we remember, it strengthens our faith. And lastly, it shapes our future generations. Right, as God's telling us, like, hey, your children are gonna ask about these things. Right, this town is powerful in a lot of ways. I've been here like 15 years now, which is crazy. Man, Maroon runs strong, right? Where are our Aggies at? Whoop. See? And some of y'all are like, I don't know. Right, but like you could go wherever. It's like, man, you talk against A&M, like you could be at an elementary school and some kids gonna be like, are you sure you wanna say that? I was like, you don't even go to, he's like, are you sure you wanna say those words, right? Like you could, like, there is deep, deep loyalty for A&M in this place. Why? Because, man, it's what we talk about. It's what we celebrate. It's what we share. The things that leave our mouth, parents, like that is what molds your children. The things you care about, the things you are devoted about, the things you celebrate and you remember and you share at your table or you share around your family time. Like, those are the things that mold your children's hearts. And so as we take time to celebrate, as we take time to stop, knowing, man, this is also our act of worship and discipleship of our kids, that this is what matters to us, that we want to take time to spend reflecting over the summer and doing that. So why? So maybe you're like, hey, I didn't go on any of those trips. I didn't go to Pine Cove. I didn't have any of those things. One, let's just celebrate. Let's honor the Lord. He is worthy of our celebration. He is worthy of those things. So as we begin to celebrate baptism, the life transformation, the greatest miracle that has ever touched this world and redemption of what was broken and dead to what is life. We get to celebrate stories of what God is doing outside of College Station, what he's doing in Germany and Southeast Asia, what he's doing even here at Creekside through Bible studies in Pine Cove. Like that is who our God is, and that's what we want to do is celebrate those. Second, it strengthens our faith. Be reminded this is the heart of our Lord. And thirdly, let us shape our generations. Let it shape those who follow us, who come today. This is where we stand. These are the rocks we hold on to. And this is what we want to be about. So before we jump into that, as we get the stage set a little bit, I want you to have a moment just with the Lord, just to take 1 or 2 minutes just to praise, to look back on this summer. God, what have you done this summer? Maybe it's really, really obvious. Maybe you got to see incredible miracles. Or maybe for you, maybe you have to just pray a little harder. But just for you to take a moment with the Lord and just say, God, this is what you've done. This is how I've seen you work in my life. So I'm gonna give you 1 or 2 moments just to pray on your own as we set the stage, and then I'll move us into what is next. There we go. Lord, thanks for this day. Thanks for this opportunity. Lord, thank you that you are one worthy of praising, of celebrating, of doing those things. Father, we just pray for this time. Lord, for whoever's sharing on stage, you calm nerves. Lord, that ultimately whatever is shared here today is for your glory and for your kingdom forever. Lord, let it strengthen us. Let it encourage us. Let it draw us deeper in love with you. Pray this all in your name. Amen. Good morning. Let's see, is it on? It is on. Yes. There we go. Awesome. Well, I know your name already. Why don't you introduce yourself to the church? Tell us a little about who you are, what you're doing, where you're at school, all those kinds of things.
Yeah. My name is Hudson Gary, and I'm a junior college student at Texas A&M.
Nice. What are you studying?
I'm studying psychology.
Awesome.
Yep.
Do you love it?
Yeah, it's fun.
Good. That was also my major, but I loved it. It's fine. Also, like, yeah, I know. You also just got back from Europe, so you're a little jet lagged.
Yes.
So give it up. Hudson gave a lot to be here. He just drove in from Houston this morning. Really, really excited. Well, tell us, so a little bit what we're talking about with you is Southeast Asia. And mm-hmm. So if you didn't know, we sent a couple different teams. So we sent an adult ministry team to Southeast Asia, also sent a college team. And then Hudson kind of did something a little different. And so as I was thinking through, hey, a lot of different things happen in Southeast Asia. I thought your story is really cool. Your experience is really cool. So I wanted to bring you up and share. So tell us a little about what you did, how that included Southeast Asia, just kind of overview of the trip.
Yeah, absolutely. So through an opportunity that the church presented to me, I was able to go and partner with the goers that we have in Southeast Asia, some of the goers we have in Southeast Asia, more of a rural area that our adult team got to actually come to while I was there. So I was there a little bit longer, about 2 months or so. It was kind of like an internship where I was like an apprentice under the goers that were there. So that was what I got to do. I got to be there as we welcomed short-term teams, like our adult team from Creekside, that got to come for 1 or 2 weeks and, yeah, just partner in the ministry that we got to do.
That's all. And you were working with the Fords?
That's right.
Is that right?
Yes,
okay.
The Fords.
So they just moved to a new part, a new island.
Yes.
Like, they're just kind of starting off ministry there.
That's right. They've been there for less than a year.
Okay.
And a lot of times people, when they move to a new area, especially in a country like the country that they're in, they will take a little bit more time to get started, but they felt like the Lord was calling them to immediately start ministry, and so they needed some help. Not that I was able to, you know, just carry them along, but I was able to just assist in some things because they didn't have a lot of people to help them. It's just their family right now. So
what did, like, normal day-to-day look like?
It depended on if we had a team there or not, right? So if we didn't have a team there, we were doing follow-up work. We were going into villages, just me and Kyle Ford. We'd go into villages and we would just talk to people that we've met, or we would just look for opportunities to bring teams in the future. And then a lot of time spent praying, because all movements start with prayer.
I love
And then whenever there's a team there, we would take that team, take them to do some fun things. We would go swim with whale sharks, or go scuba diving, or whatever it is, do some fun things, because their business there is tourism, so we take people to do tourism, and then we also, with that tourism, take them into villages to do ministry and to connect with people, look for people who might be open to the gospel.
Because, like, as they're doing the tourist trips, right, they're staying in host homes and villages, building
right.
relationships. And so what do they do as they build those relationships with those villagers, right, as the Brian Cruikshanks is in a host home, mm-hmm. right? What is his, not goal, but, like, what's the purpose of that relationship, and how does that help the Fords
Absolutely.
And kind of help the ministry
yeah.
there?
Yeah. So it's specifically talking about the Creekside adult team. We went to a certain village that has been very closed off since the Fords have come there. They went there, one of their first villages they went to when they moved to this area. But the village has been very closed off. We went there with this team. We were able to find some people who were more open to spiritual and gospel conversations. And so the relationships that some of people from Creekside got to make with that village, we've already seen fruit starting to turn over. And we're starting to see people be more open to having spiritual conversations. We haven't seen anyone come to start studying the Bible from that village yet, but we are hopeful and prayerful that that will be happening soon. And so them going into that village and the short-term team coming opened up the door for us to enter that village so that then we could share the good news with some people, find people who seem like they might be open, and then now, over a long period of time, it might be years before we have anyone in that village who wants to study. But that's started to take another step because of the faithfulness of that short-term team.
Yeah. That's awesome. I think that's really important because, like, so often, like, we're on results, like, hey, how many people have come to faith? Like, but even just the village opening doors to outsiders, like, that is, especially there, like, that is a huge deal, right?
Absolutely. Yes, yeah. It is. Yeah. It's a lot of closed doors, because of the majority religion in this area, in this country, it's very communal. Everything's communal. You don't go outside of your culture. And their religion is their culture. And so to have even someone be open to someone who might believe something else is a huge first step. And that is one of the first things that we like praying for is, like, God, I pray that you will open them to just a conversation, because, you know, that's where it starts, right?
Yeah. Any cool, like, spiritual, I know you just shared that, like, which is awesome. Any other spiritual stories, things you learned during 2 months is a long time, over there with the Fords. And yeah. Kyle's, they're awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a cool experience, a cool thing you get to learn.
Yeah. Yeah, something I would definitely want to share. And it's actually ask Kyle, like, what do you think I should share? Because, you know, it was going to be sharing, and he told me to share this. So there was one village we went into. We went with a short-term team from Alabama, and they were there, and we went to this village, and we were there for 3 days. And on the second day, I didn't get to, but some of the team that was with us got to go and visit with this girl, this 18-year-old girl who was very sick. They were told she was very sick, so they went to her house. And one of the goers, one of the people that was helping out the Fords at that time, she was a nurse before she was a goer. And anyway, so she went to that house. She got to, like, kind of check on and see how the girl was doing. She hadn't gone and gotten any medical care outside of her village. But she, the woman who's the nurse, then realized she has, like, breast cancer and is in the final stages of breast cancer. And she has gotten no care whatsoever. And you could see it, and she was having a hard time breathing. She was very weak. This broke the hearts of the couple of girls and that goer who got to go and talk to her. But then they realized we might not ever get to see her again. She might not last another day. Like, she's very weak. And so, by the power of the Holy Spirit, they shared the gospel with her, and it's the first time she'd ever heard it. And they were able to share many stories of Jesus healing people, many stories of Jesus bringing people back to life, even, and just sharing story after story with this girl. And she seemed to receive it well, which is just a miracle for this area and these people, that only the Lord could have the opportunity to give them the words to say that this would happen. They also got to sing worship songs with her, not anything like pushing, but just like goodness of God. They sang goodness of God with her and how great is our God, those kind of things. It was a wonderful opportunity that they felt like she was really interested and wanted to know more. So we were going to come back a week after. But then we were 2 days after they got to share with her. We were in another village because, you know, we usually try to do one or two village trips with each team. We were in another village 2 days later, and we got a text. One of the girls got a text from that sick girl's family member saying that she had passed away just 2 days after we got to share with her. And it's a very somber thing, and it really broke a lot of our hearts because, you know, we got to see her. We talked to her. We loved her family. And, it just broke our hearts. It was really hard. But then we got to go back and straight back to that village right after we got that text. We were back in the village 30 minutes later, and we were able to love on that family. We were able to share more stories with them and their brokenheartedness. I mean, she had just passed.
Yeah.
And we were able to mourn with them. And that opportunity only opened up because that short team came, because they had the faithfulness to come out, do something that was not easy, but it's not about it not being easy. It's, you know, faithfulness to what the Lord has called them to do, called us to do. And so we got to go into this village and share with this girl, hear the gospel for the first time, just 2 days before she passed away. We don't know what she did with that knowledge, with what the Lord did on her heart in those 2 days. We don't know. We do know that we were faithful, and our goers were faithful to bring the gospel to this girl. And that was just a reminder. And I share that because it's not to, you know, pull at your heartstrings, but just to show you that there's a purpose in taking the gospel to the nations. There's a reason we do it, because there are people who have never heard it before, who might pass away at any moment or might just live for 30 more years and never hear the gospel. So there's like a reason, there's a purpose for us doing that. And so, yeah, that was just a very, that moment, those memories of that have had a hold on my heart since.
Yeah, absolutely. To see just, yeah, the need, like you shared. And just also, we're called to be faithful. And what does that look like in our lives? So anything you are, I think just as we close, how can we continue, right? So not all of us are going to be able to go to Southeast Asia, but some of us can. So any encouragement of like, hey, someone who's considering it, and also just for those who can't go, how can we still participate in what the Lord's doing?
Yeah, absolutely. So first and foremost, of course, is prayer. I mean, praying, nothing happens. Nothing will change in these areas that Satan has a stronghold in without prayer. So prayer is first and foremost. Whether you're going, whether you're doing anything, you should be praying. We ask you to pray for these people that are doing this work, and that the Lord would just draw people to himself that maybe have never thought about it before. And then other things you can do is you can give financially to the people like the Fords, other goers in other areas of the world even. That is a great need, and it's just a great opportunity that we have to give to these people. You can go on a short-term trip, which is, might be outside of where the Lord is calling you to go full-time, but going just for a week, going for 2 weeks. We had 10 of our adults here at Creekside went on a trip, and we got to see, life change happen just in that time that they were there. And so you can do that. You can go for a week or two during the summer. And then you can also get involved with our global outreach here at the church, mobilizing or, just sending people across the world to other nations.
Yeah, that's awesome. We'll have our Go Week in October. We'll talk more about, hey, where is Creekside? How is Creekside continuing to partner with our partnerships in Southeast Asia? What does it look like, practical ways, and kind of going off what Hudson's saying for those. But if you have any questions, please come find any of us with a name tag. Come find Hudson between services. He's sticking around. Probably going to grab a cup of coffee to wake up a little more from his jet lag as he does those things. So church, what we are going to do now after each one of these is we just want to spend time praying after each one of these trips. And so you get with people around you. This is going to be, hey, pray out loud. Let's be a church that believes in prayer, that believes in what Hudson says. Man, prayer is our first strategy, our first priority, that there is power in prayer. And so you can take some time to pray. I'll close this as we transition over to the next one. So you can be praying for these two things on the screen. Lord, thank you just for your goodness. Lord, thank you for partnerships for goers, for people who are going, Lord, where the gospel's needed. Thank you for a church that believes in that, in sending and being a part of the Great Commission. Lord, I pray that this story just encourages us, Lord, to see the need for the gospel. Lord, to know wherever we go, we are called to do that, is to share your good news, to share your character, share who you are, Jesus. The redemption you have. Lord, I pray for goers to continue to rise up, Lord, to go to every corner of the earth. Lord, even just from this room, God, that you place on people's hearts just that call. So thank you for your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. We're going to be moving on to our next trip and one that I'm excited for all of them. A little biased, I got to go on this one, got to hang out with these cool people. And so we're talking about our high school. So we took 14, I don't remember, it's been a while. I think 14 students, maybe 15, to Germany. So we partnered with our goers over in Munich and run Young Life stuff. And there's 19 of us total. It was a full trip. And so I asked y'all to come up and share. I say y'all, I don't want to spoil it, say your name. And why don't you share who you are, a little bit about y'all?
My name is Emma, and I just graduated high school, and I'm getting ready to move overseas for missions for a gap year.
I'm Eli. I'll be a junior in high school at A&M Consolidated High School.
Cool. Why don't y'all share a little about the trip? Like, what did we do? Kind of overview of, like, what was our purpose there in partnering with Young Life? What did that look like?
Yeah, so we got to go to Germany for 2 weeks.
Just about, yeah, like 12 days.
Yeah, and over there we got to spend some time just as a group hanging out with Audrey and Lars, who are the host people. But we also got to run an English day camp for 5 days for about 20 kids, 20 German students. So we just got to be with them, got to hang out with them, do activities, stuff, and most importantly, just get to try to dig into their relationship with the Lord and try to grow that.
Yeah, we really got to get close to some of these students, which was really cool. And it was really cool to be able to be there to teach them English and Texan sayings. But we also got to share the gospel with them, and that was really cool to be able to see how open they are and just have conversations with them.
Yeah, it's really fun when you have a bunch of Germans running around saying, howdy, y'all. It's different. They also learn British English, and so we are very far from British English in our dialect. So there's some fun words and different things. So a lot of what y'all did was, like, it was teach English, mm-hmm. kind of. Y'all were leading classrooms. Like, we weren't in there a lot. Yeah. What was the purpose of that like, classroom time? But even just as you're going through the day, what was, like, your, like, man, this is what I want to happen?
Yeah, so in the classrooms, we had different topics we talked to the kids about, and we would just try to get them to talk as much as we can. And we had different times that we were able to, like, share the three circles with them, and we got to play different games with them. And some of my girls in my group, we taught them how to two-step and how to just say different Texan slang, and it was really funny. But it was also really fun to be able to do sports with them and play games with them and just have fun with them and love on them.
Yeah, that's awesome. Any good, Eddie?
Yeah, we, especially in my classroom, we kind of spent the first 2 days building up those relationships, so doing games and stuff with them. And through that, we were able, the last 3 or so days, we're able to really dive deep and give them demonstrations of, like, the three circles, stuff like that, be able to share the gospel. So that was really cool.
Yeah. So they keep referencing the three circles. Three circles on that bottom right kind of photo is just a gospel sharing tool that we use that is really, really easy. It's awesome because it's a picture and get to draw it out and share that. What were some ways y'all got to see the Lord move? There's a lot of ways we got to see God move in our time in Munich. I know y'all each kind of have some cool stories.
Yeah, I could sit up here for a while and tell. But one of the main stories that I've gotten to tell a bunch of people. There was this little kid. He was probably 13 years old. His name was Matthew. And I noticed the first 2 days of camp, he was really, like, interested in learning more. And so through those, especially free time, we got probably an hour and a half, mm-hmm. 2 hours worth of free time every day. And I was able to have a lot of conversations with him. And he was asking a lot of questions about, you know, what does it mean to follow the Lord? Like, one of his main struggles was just he felt like he wasn't good enough to be following the Lord. So I was able to really sit down, and he only had 3 days at the camp, actually. He didn't get to do the whole week, but through those 3 days, I was able to have really deep conversations, and eventually he accepted Christ into his life. So,
yeah, which is, that's something worth celebrating, y'all, but that is huge.
Yeah, so I kind of have a similar story. I was getting close to this girl. Her name is Emily. She's, I think, about 12, and she was just asking me. I was trying to get her to talk about the story that she heard about Jesus, and she was just asking different questions, and she was asking, like, what it meant to, like, place Jesus into your heart and, like, accept him, and I got to talk to her about that, and I was like, well, is this something that you would want to do? And she was like, yeah, I really would. And so I got to pray with her, and the Lord really moved in her heart that day. And it was really cool because it was kind of in the middle of the week. And once she accepted Christ, I got to talk to her more during the week about it. And she was asking so many different questions. And it was really cool to see, like, the Lord move in her heart and through other people doing that.
It's awesome. So we partner with the Martins over there. So Audrey and Lars Martin, who they've referenced, work with the school, and they work with these students. And so we're not just coming over there, like dropping the gospel and leaving them. Like, we're continuing to help them build partnerships with Young Life and get plugged into churches. And so it's really cool that even as we're over here, God's continuing to move and God's still working things. I know you've got to still talk to Emily and mm-hmm. keep those relationships going. But we weren't, we had an opportunity, and Lord's still doing awesome, awesome things. Guys, there's nothing really, there's so many things. But like, it is incredible to watch high school students, one, give up 2 weeks of their summer, but be invested in the gospel, be invested in the kingdom of the Lord. Like, us on staff, we kind of just got to hang out. They were doing the really cool ministry here. And so I tell you all that as an encouragement. Like, man, God is moving in the future generations. Like, he is doing a great work, and there's a lot to celebrate in that. So we're going to continue to pray for our missionaries in Munich and for the mission that is happening. So once again, you can pray with your friends next to you, with your family next to you, or with your new friends for those things, and we'll transition over to the next one. Father, thank you for, just once again, celebration, your goodness, what you've did in Munich, Lord, what you're doing in Munich, and what you've done. God, thanks for, I'm just going to celebrate that, good to see that. Thanks for Eli, Emma, and so many other high schooler students who spent their summer investing in your kingdom and loving your people, Lord. So, yeah, thank you just for the good news of Jesus. Praise in his holy and ever precious name. Amen. Awesome. So one thing I wanted to do also was just celebrate what's been happening here. There's been different Bible studies, community groups, and I was talking with Grace and with Dusty. I was like, man, who can we talk? I know there's some fun photos. Those cupcakes look really good. My office is right there. I love anything with chocolate. So I wanted to bring in one of our Bible studies that's been meeting this summer and have them share a little bit about this. So why don't y'all introduce yourselves, tell us a little about kind of what y'all did this summer, what summer looked like for y'all.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
We're delighted to be here. I especially enjoyed sitting way over there. I saw this crazy guy walk over here. He looked like he was on a quattro from Go-Go. And then I realized why. He was up here with a very calm young man who was baptized, Bennett, his son.
Oh.
And then he quoted Joshua 1:9. And so our verse would be Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. For then you will make your work prosperous, and then you will have success. Okay, that's pretty short. But I'm Grady. This is my wife, Pat. We've been coming here about 2-3 years, involved in a lot of Bible studies, and we're going to hear about several of them, both the home Bible studies and men's Bible studies. Many, many thanks to all of those who look at me and say, I think I took a meal over to his house at some time, and I really appreciate those meals. We've had a lot of opportunities to be blessed by your hospitality in that way, and it's kept us going, so thank you very much. I'm mindful also that in the beginning of the summer, we said goodbye to Matt. I drove off mad and angry from here, but I'm happy now. I think you got the A-team coming. I mean, he's a good guy. I really appreciated Matt for those years. But hey, you know, the best is always yet to come with Jesus. And we're getting ready to start up another ramp here. But anyway, we had an opportunity to be also in, I have in Whataburger Men, the Creekers that meet with Vicky and Walt are a good bunch. And we also both, you'll in a minute, you'll get to, I'll let Brent introduce himself and his wife, Patricia. Had a chance to get started in Bible studies with Alan Cornelius and Rob Estes, and was really the beginning of our relationship, and I'll let him say more about this. But at this point in time, I think we want to say something about why we wanted to do this.
Yeah, absolutely.
And something about these pictures, and that's when I get to my precious wife. Here she is.
Again, I want to echo with Grady. We got here from overseas. We moved here, and both of us got cancer. And we didn't know a single person in this church. And I shared with someone, she asked me how I was doing, and I had just gotten the diagnosis of cancer. And the next thing I know, people are ringing our doorbell and bringing us meals. That's this church. The undercurrent, the backbone of this church, I think, is hospitality and care for members. And so that's what we wanted our Bible study to be. We wanted to... we had a friend who always used to say in Okinawa, if you feed them, they will come. And so we thought, cupcakes. But we were hoping, you know, we'd have college students. We have all the way from college students all the way up to us oldsters. And it is so neat. And these folks are all in our Bible study, and we've had as many as 12 there. And then it depends on work, who can get there and who can't. So hospitality and love and the Word of God is what we wanted to pass on there. And I was in a ministry before I married Grady where you served meals and then had Bible study afterwards. So I thought, why not continue that? It worked back then. And especially the college students seem to like the free meals. So, all right, I'm going to hand this on to Marissa.
Hi, my name is Marisa. I've been coming to this church off and on for about a year. This summer wasn't very exciting or happy for me. My husband of 22 years passed away suddenly 4 months ago. And I was so angry at God. My husband brought me coffee at 6 o'clock in the morning on a Friday, and went in to take a shower, came out slurring and had a stroke, and he was dead at 6:30. It was very fast. Again, I was so angry at God, and I started going to grief counseling on a Wednesday. And I was very sad, and the people around me, I was just like, they're so depressing. I don't want to be like that. And the one thing that just kept going through my head was, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So because of that, I was thinking about my husband and was like, well, if he died, he must have completed his purpose. And so I wanted to know, what was his purpose? What did I miss? What's my purpose? And I started reading the book, Purpose Driven Life, and everything went back to connection. You have to have connection. And so I got online, I saw the little form you guys had, and I went ahead and filled it out. Miss Pat calls me and was like, hey, we're gonna eat on our first one. And what can you bring? And I was like, I was like, okay. And that was about a week before, and I'm trying to talk myself out of not going. But I show up, I'm gonna give it a chance. And the first meeting, one of the scriptures they share was, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I felt like that was God's confirmation that I needed to be there. And the warmth that I felt, I have three adult children, and they pretty much have all left. And from a family of five, sitting together was so big for me, that now that they're, one got married, one's in school, and I see the other one who's here, you know, periodically so busy, that those dinners were just amazing to, like, fill me I know I still have a lot to go, but trying to trust in the Lord of his plan. But these guys just filled me and showed me that God is still with me.
Yeah, we've been blessed with you too. I'm Brent. This is my wife, Patricia. I didn't forget her name. but we've been here about 3 years, and like Grady, we didn't know anybody, and we signed up for a Bible study, and then Grady and I met, and we've run several Bible studies together since then. And we went from not knowing anybody to having really brothers and sisters in Christ that we can turn to. And, you know, in the fall, we found out she had cancer and had to have a brain surgery, had tumor removed. First person I called was him. And he was there, came to the hospital, prayed over us, and was a true brother. And so we've learned that, you know, Jesus' second commandment was love your neighbor as yourself. And you cannot love a neighbor unless you know him. And Bible studies brought us together.
Incredible.
I wish you all opportunity to get involved in a fellowship. That's where the transformation really takes place. And we're going to continue this fall probably as a group. And thank you for giving us the opportunity to do this, brother.
Absolutely. Thank you all so much for sharing. We're going to continue to pray for our communities, our Bible studies. If you're interested in getting involved, there's sign-up sheets, the prayer cards. Come find one of us. We'll have a Connect brunch next week and so many more opportunities. But like I said, life transformation happens because of the gospel and in community as we study the word. And so why don't you all pray for our community groups, pray for leaders to be drawn in those ways. And we'll move to our last one. Thank you. Lord, thank you for just these stories. Thank you that you are a God who's near the brokenhearted. Lord, that you've blessed us with community. God, you've made us to be known, to be loved. And thanks for the Bible studies that are already going. Lord, I pray for more. I pray that this continues to grow. Lord, for those who aren't involved can find an opportunity, even amidst the busyness, to choose to live together in community. Lord, you call up leaders and raise leaders up. Lord, be with us as we move into this last one. We love you and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, these are my new friends. I'm getting to share the professionals. Right? We feeling all right?
Yep.
Oh, yes. All right. I said next week I'm not even showing up. Riley's just going to take over and he's going to get it. Are y'all on any of these fun photos? Maybe. I don't know. That was my fault if not. But these are a little thing. So a few weeks ago, we got to host Pine Cove Camp in the City. Which is awesome. None of these chairs are in there. There was like 10 tents. It's one of my favorite weeks. People are asked, like, can you get anything done with the yelling? I said, no, and that's the best part, right? Like, there is inflatables and kids running around, just so much joy that is happening here. So, one, we're really grateful for Pine Cove and the opportunity. But two, we get to fill this place with people from Creekside, from all the campuses, but also from friends. And so my two friends got to go to Pine Cove a few weeks ago. Pretty fun time?
Yep.
Awesome. Well, why don't you tell us your names, a little bit about who you are, and then we can talk about camp. Sound good?
My name is Riley. I'm going into third grade, and my school is Mitchell Elementary.
That was really effective, Riley. You got it done, man. That was awesome. Riley, you're going to third grade. That's
right. My name is Blakely. I'm going into third grade, and I'm going to my first year at Spring Creek.
First year at Spring Creek. That's exciting. Awesome. Well, why don't you tell me about Pine Cove? Was this y'all's first time at Pine Cove?
Mine.
Blakely, it was your first time?
Third?
Oh, you're a pro. Yeah. Next year, I think you're running camp, right? They're going to call you camp director. Riley, what were some of your favorite parts about Pine Cove? What was your favorite activity? Anything about Pine Cove? What'd you love about it?
The bungee jumping and the water slide.
The bungee jumping. How high did you get?
Pretty high.
I bet, man. Was it scary at all?
No, I did 3 backflips.
At the same time?
No.
But each individual. You know how many backflips I can do? Probably none. All right, Blakely, what was your favorite part about Pine Cove?
I really liked the talent show, and then I liked the bungee jumping, and then I liked the princess hunt.
What was the last one, the princess?
Hunt.
You were hunting a princess?
Yeah.
But like a good hunt, like you were trying to find her. And...
Yeah, because it was her birthday.
Ah, okay. So you're in a talent show, or did they show off their talents for y'all?
No, we got to do our own talent show.
And what's your talent? Did you have a talent for the talent show?
Yeah, I sung.
You sung? You want to sing for it? I'm just kidding. I'm not going to make you do that.
No.
Blake was like, I didn't sign. No, I just was going to talk about punk. Yeah. All right. So tell me some things that you learned. What did you get to learn about God? What were some, just anything. What did you learn about the Lord?
Creation and the memory verse. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared ahead of time for us to do. Ephesians 2:10.
Nice. Way to go. They haven't clapped that loud for me this whole time. And you just come up and that's incredible. Ephesians 2:10. Thanks for sharing. Nice. Your parents are looking. Wave to them. Say, hey, mom. All right, Blakely, what was something you got to learn during your time here at camp?
I'm kind of connecting. Like, I'm kind of just going to add a little bit to the memory verse because that's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
So,
do you have it memorized too?
Like, it's like,
You want to share it? I bet they'll clap.
Sure. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. And this is what we always did after. CSB, it's in the Bible.
Yeah! That is awesome. Would you all go to Pine Cove again?
Absolutely.
Yeah, fourth time. I mean, you're in charge.
Of course.
It was so fun. Well, thank y'all so much for sharing. Y'all did a really, really great job. So can you give it up for my friends? Way to go. As we wrap this one up, I just want to be praying for God did awesome things at Pine Cove, but God has continued to do awesome things through Grace Kids from like the crib up until 12th grade. Obviously, I'm a little biased. Right, but God is moving here in the lives of students, and we are getting to see that as they're on mission trip, as they're celebrating and memorizing scripture and joyful about it. How sweet that is. So I'd ask, would you pray for us? Would you pray for the things God is doing here at Grace Kids, at Creekside Youth? We need leaders. We're continuing to start in the fall. This church is continuing to grow, and we are grateful. So we need people to invest, and then also that our students would be engaged. So can you pray for all the things happening with our kids from the crib up and through 12th grade, and then I will close this. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to celebrate, for just the extra time even in here. Lord, though it might run into our schedule, God, you are worth celebrating in these ways. Thanks for just these kids and the joy that it is to celebrate what you're doing. Lord, I pray that as we leave here, Lord, that praises leave our lips, that we get to be a people, Lord, who look back, who remember, who pick up the stones and say, Lord, this is who you are and this is what you've done. Father, we love you. Praise in Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. Hey, we are going to finish celebrating in just a song of praise. So you can stand with us. But my challenge is as you go to lunch, as you go to brunch, wherever you go throughout this week, that you share. Share different stories. Share ways God has moved in y'all's life this summer and let it be an encouragement.